and this is Russ Dizdar. Listen, it's tonight, Wednesday. Well, it's March the 3rd, 2010. I can't believe the spring's already breaking out, but it's been a great day around here. Things are melting down, and but we've got... We didn't have spiritual warfare last night, but we had warfare. We had a cat that chased a skunk right up to the house, around the house, and we were up till 7 in the morning trying to air out the house. Listen, it's a ragged edge of a world that we live in, and that's nothing compared to some of the events that have gone on. I wanted to bring up yesterday the fact that the 8.8 earthquake in Chile that occurred. Scientists at NASA believed that it literally may have changed the rotation, or the axis of the Earth, rather, and that it might have slowed down time or the days. And but anyway, there's been a lot of scientists and so forth looking into the fact that that level of an earthquake could affect the rotation of the Earth. Massive to me, absolutely massive to me. I want to say again, welcome to everybody coming in tonight and listening. We're grateful that you're there. We're grateful to hear from you. My name is Russ Dizdar. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. ShatterTheDarkness.net on the web. I tell you that because there's hundreds of MP3s to download. A lot of information. Almost on a daily scale, we add new things and let you know about things coming up. And I've got to tell you that... I was talking with Patrick Huron last Sunday night. He's the author of the book, The Nephilim of the Pyramid and of the Apocalypse. If you take a look at that, you're going to find out. Well, we had him on last week. It's archived Sunday night. And we're going to have him on Sunday night this week in his new book on the Antichrist. So it's going to be an interesting interview. But he will tell his testimony. How, as a young man, he came here in the 60s and hitchhiked across America deeply. Listen, in the drug culture, in all of that. And it just reminded me of, again, the 60s and all that we'd gone through and experienced in those days. What a radical time. And I'm going to bring up that we were massively, massively infected in the 60s. It's some of it is coming back to haunt us today. As a matter of fact, the leaders that are out there in the research of the paranormal, psi powers, even in the military sense of looking for a 1st Earth Battalion, New Age, spiritually enhanced military soldier, a lot of it comes from the 60s invasion spiritually, and we will discuss that tonight. Listen, we've got a few things we want you to know about, and if you've been listening and you have found that it's beneficial, we encourage you again to go to the website and take a look at some of the hundreds of downloads. We have a brand new series put out called Dark Rituals, Dark Powers. Yes, it does affect you, and it does relate to the program tonight with the Mayans and the 2012ers. Because tonight, in the topic of warning to Mayan researchers and the 2012ers, they're waiting for you. Well, who's waiting for them? I'm saying very clearly. Let me say that I'm crying it out. Let me say that I am heralding it out that the ancient spirits that guided the Maya back then and the Aztecs and other cultures that were similar, they didn't go away. They didn't die. Doors may have been closed on them. But they know how to engage in the spiritual realm to bring a spiritual synchronicity, guidance. They're knocking at the doors of millions upon millions, guiding individuals back to the old places to find the objects that have been demonized, the ritual centers and temples and places where the ancient gods in their rites, in their territorial given rights, that are still located, waiting to come through again. If they could but find someone who will dance for them. Some of you listening right now are Satanists and Luciferians. It's very clear that you've been dancing in that dark side for some time. Some of you have explained to me the energies and the powers and the feeling and well, the supernatural, how that dark power can rage. It's always connected to the scarlet, though, isn't it? Always connected to the knife. Something about human pain, the energies raised, the decadent energies raised, the dirtying of the human conscience, of the entire structure of the human being in ritual format, so that, well, the beasts of hell can come and grab hold and come through. Really, a human ritual, a human sacrifice, is like a ladder being lowered down, giving ability for those on that side to climb up and over. So Dark Rituals, Dark Powers is one of the most important series I think that we'll have ever done. And we've got the introduction up in session one. It's now moved to 11 sessions, and we'll be putting those up weekly, if not more, two or three a week. We're going to try to get that done quickly. The book is out, 80 hours of training. You can get Confronting the Powers is still free. You can get that. And then the three conferences with websites, by the way. We fixed the website link in St. Louis, April 9th and 10th, Symposium on the Paranormal. In Nashville, the Last Days Conference. Hey, Lynn Marzulli is going to be there. Mike Bennett, Guy Malone, Tom Bionic, Joe Jordan, Chris White, and Chris Pinto, and Derek Gilbert, all going to be there. Going to be a massive, massive conference down there. I'm praying that hundreds, literally hundreds of you will come. The conference in Michigan that some friends have set up and that they have been praying for and arranging and getting ready, I believe the last I heard around, you know, over 30-some that have already signed up, and some have sent me emails. As a matter of fact, I talked to somebody today, I believe from Tennessee, that's going to be in Michigan for the conference. And I get to teach about, I don't know, I think it's going to be broken down to about 4 hours and then another couple hours of question and answer. So it's going to be a big day, a major day. Some of the newest content we'll bring out to you up in Michigan. And so we hope that you're going to be there also. And we hope to have the cleaned up, edited version of the book on the table. And we're not going to say much, but it's very possible there may be an extra book, another book coming out. We are working at devotional level books and some power books and for your life. And then one on the abyss and one on Revelation 19:19 Armageddon. Big stuff all around us, things in the news. A dear sweet little girl stolen out in California. Body has now been found. Again, the perpetrator once attacked a 13-year-old and tried to rape her, was in prison only 5 years. Out, did it again. So many things like this occur. And to listen to the parents and to listen to another woman last night, a parent, a mother, her 14-year-old daughter is still missing. They've not found her at all. And they're worried that it's going to be the same thing, that she's going to be found in the same way. But again and again and again, just like the girl that went to the Metallica concert, they finally found her bones, but they haven't found the perpetrator. We're involved in cult crime cases up here, and there's three where ultimately the perpetrators have not been found. I want you to know that we are going to add into this Dark Rituals, Dark Powers, what it means for law enforcement to go after satanic and occult crimes. And that subject by Tony and others will be addressed in St. Louis on April 9th and 10th. So I hope that you can come to any of those high-impact training. I hope that you'll come and go away with some major, major training. Tonight we have gotten on to the third, we're at the third of the four-part series, Warning to Mayan Researchers and the 2012ers. They are waiting for you. I'm going to say blatantly, clearly, straightforward, that there is a great, vast, dark side. As prophesied, as we've been given the clear, detailed heads up, they are pouring through, I believe, by the hundreds of millions. I believe the atmosphere is getting more and more dirtied, that you can feel their presence, arrival, agenda, their nature. They're going to affect politics, military, social systems, economics, the environment. I believe their presence affects even the tectonic plates and the created order around us. It's kind of like a bull in a china shop. It really is. All around us right now, they've been beckoning, and I've got to go over the 60s tonight. We'll do that as we get into the body of the message. But I want to answer maybe an email or two from yesterday, and I promised that I would, that had come in. And you can write to me during the show, ShatterXmail, SBCGlobal.net, ShatterXmail, SBCGlobal.net, and they will... We'll be able to try to answer you right away. Right now, lately, we've been getting to all the emails on a daily basis. We're going backwards to catch up. So who knows, for some of you, we may get to you sooner or later. We're sure going to try. Listen, I'm reading somebody here that wrote in. They just watched about the Mayan island on the History Channel off the coast of Chile, a huge monument. To speak of their gods in 2012. They'll be watching the total eclipse of the sun and Venus, that has to do with the star of the morning. We'll go into that tonight. Traveling across the sun. Interesting. The commentators don't seem to connect the higher intelligence and the small g gods as demons. Where do you think these kings of the Mayans got their advanced... So here's the question. So where do you think the kings of the Mayans got this advanced knowledge? I'm going to say very clearly, it was spirit-given revelation, spirit-given inspiration. Their prophecies, the more I'm reading, the more I'm looking into it, the more I'm looking at all of it, it is clearly, and I'm saying it may be very clear too, as with the Egyptians, Nephilim presence, which would include... their desire to have more dark powers around. Please understand, their involvement in sacrificial of humans and blood and so forth would bring them powers. And then the very kings, the human kings, would also be, in some sense, well, demonized, demon-influenced, and the information clearly, even beyond the Nazis, would be the ideology politically, their way of living was guided. And as I mentioned last night in Romans chapter 1, they exchanged the glory of the immortal God. They exchanged. Some of you listened. You're still in that category. You're exchanging the glory of the immortal God for the images, the finite things, and the dark spirits behind. I mean, you can look at the sum total of the gods, whether the Romans, the Greeks, the Egyptians, in Hinduism, around the world. Add them all up together, collect up all of their attributes, put up all their powers, and collectively, they still are not infinite. They still are defeatable. They still emanate and act according to their nature. They have a massive agenda. So it's very important what we're going to speak about tonight. And I would say to Karen that they got their advanced knowledge the way that I believe German scientists, Himmler, others, I believe that infected the OSS and the CIA in the United States. I believe that there was a spiritual infiltration. That's why we've got a shadow military and a shadow government. And the shadow military, the shadow government, can be detected on certain levels. And it's part of that secret power of lawlessness that will eventually come to the surface and bring this this satanic, well, as some call it, a inverted satanic Pentecost, baptizing those loyal to the dark side, to the coming Antichrist, with such power and frenzy, peace being taken from the earth, it may have a lot of relationship to the Pyros red horse of Revelation 6. When there is an instantaneous taking of peace, and that mankind, men, people, it's not about war there. The Greek word used is they begin to butcher, slaughter one another. Now that may correlate, and obviously that's going to involve a burst, not an incremental approach, but a burst of satanic presence and power. So I appreciate, Karen, you sending that in, and I'm just saying that there are spiritual elements concerning the Mayan prophecies. No question about that. No question that there are spiritual elements about remote viewers and their prophecies. There's spiritual elements about their data that they're receiving from a spiritual location, no matter how much you sanitize it and try to make it more like technology. It sounds cleaner. It sounds more rational. But it's the same place. So it's very, very important that we understand that the dark side, as always, as in the days of Manasseh, who do you think guided him? Who do you think guided parents and leaders and kings to literally rationalize and think it a good thing to sacrifice their own children? I'm reading another one here real quick. I just want to just mention this real quick. Josh has written in, and I appreciate this. Says, Russ, all the Christian radio shows are in up in arms about how the new health bill will help fund abortions. Haven't heard you say anything about this yet, but I know how you feel about the issue, so I thought I'd say something. Well, you're absolutely right. The President of the United States, you can quote me on this. It's a true factor. He's the number one promoting abortionist president in our history. It's sad because he said he was a Christian. Jesus Christ called the baby inside the womb Braphos, a living human being. You can look into the Psalms 139. You can look at all of biblical revelation. God says life begins at the moment of conception. Abortion is the slaughter of human beings. It is clearly proven within the first couple of months. If abortion has occurred after 2 months, babies are going to feel the pain. Silent Screams is a video that needs to be watched. And yes, I think we believers by the hundreds of thousands, unless we're so ignorant, so nuts, so spiritually dulled down that we do not realize that abortion is kind of a cultural convenience / human sacrifice that pays homage or opens the door. Who's pleased with abortion? Think about abortion when they go in. Think about even the idea of partial birth. Partial birth abortion, pulling out the baby, leaving the head inside. Basically, like a drill, this thing goes into the back of its head, blends its brains. The little baby that could have lived, its arms are frailing and moving, doesn't know what's happening to it, and then it goes limp. It dies. That abortion doctor is a murderer, a slaughter of human beings, and will pay the price in hell. No question about it. And rightly so. And rightly so. Thank God for the coming judgment. Sooner or later, there'll be a cleansing, a real cleansing of real radical evil. So let me tell you this. Fight abortion left and right. Pray against it left and right. And listen, for any Christian that voted for a president whose policies were known and became the number one abortion-providing, baby-killing president, you need to repent. You need to get on your knees and say how sorry you are. This is not about funds. This is not about getting money. This is not about, you know, race. It is about positions. It is about, listen, is it amazing to you where there are so many believers in the United States of America, where, you know, where's all the influence gone? I know segments of the body of Christ, up to 90%, voted for this president. I voted in one way and one way only. My vote was a vote against, and it will be the next time, and against anybody whose policies are anti-Christu, anti-Christ, globalist, and abortion providing. And those listening right now, please understand, we understand the compassionate side. We brought in unwed mothers with their little babies and taking care of them. My wife has worked for almost 10 years, a pregnancy service that saves babies and brings salvation and healing and help to mothers who now have babies that come back and visit and say how glad they are. So, Josh, I'm answering and I'm saying that, you know, we need to see the Spirit of God move upon all. Open up absolutely minds that have gone nuts. Self-serving minds that have gone nuts. Thank God that Jesus said it'd be better to face, you know, to have a millstone tied around a neck thrown into the deepest sea than to face him in the judgment. When you do this to children, it's no different. When you see little kids that have been abducted, raped, whatever's been done to them, I cried and cried last night watching television. And I know I'll get an email about that because I've got that before. Big old guy like me crying. I watched as I looked and saw that young girl out there in California jogging, 17-year-old little girl. I got a teenage daughter, 19. That this idiot took, obviously raped her, and you know the incredible pain, the incredible horror, and then had to slaughter her, and then had to bury her. Do you understand that we're living in a fallen world? Do you understand there's a sin code within? Do you understand that there is real radical evil and demonic inspiration even towards serial murder and serial rapists? It's, listen, either you get up and you fight or you sit down in your basement hiding like a chicken survivalist that is no good for nothing. You want to save yourself? Remember the words of Jesus. Those who want to save themselves will lose their lives. Whoever loses their lives for Christ and for the gospel, they find their lives. So I hope, Josh, I've spoken my mind, and this is what I would speak anywhere, anytime. If I ever had the privilege in the sight of God to stand before the President of the United States and ask the question publicly, why? When you claim to be a Christian, Jesus said you'll know them by their fruits. And yet you would eagerly sign a bill that Pelosi and others they wanted this back. Blood is on their hands, heads, well, their entire bodies. And outside the grace of God, thank God for the judgment. An old sermon, Payday Someday. Look it up on the web. An old, old sermon, Payday Someday. And I did a poem type thing years and years ago when I did a series on abortion. Maybe we'll do a four-nighter coming up. But I did a poem. It was called A Billion Tiny Spirits. See, the moment an abortion doctor, the Planned Parenthood people that convince young girls out of convenience and all the other social and emotional and environmental things that come to play, when they do all that they can because it's a multi-million dollar business, they're making money off the blood of infants. So talk about human sacrifice. Russia's worse. And so other parts of the world. Now, I didn't mean to get into this so long. We'll come back here in a few moments to our main issue. But I'm glad that you sent that question in because we don't catch everything all the time. And because of that, now I may end up doing a four-part series. And it's a vital issue in our culture because how can you stand up, pump out the most taking taxpayer dollars, mine, and want to use it worldwide? Who does it please? Obviously, the dark side. Who does it serve? The dark side. Who is it an outrageous, an abomination of sin to God? We have a president, we have leaders there that we see on television that are radical. How can that be different than shoveling bodies in those prepared ovens to annihilate millions? One was based on a demon-given ideology concerning that race. Another is about convenience. 90-some percent of all abortions is only one thing, convenience. It's not convenient. So let's go in there and snap the head, snap the neck, crush the baby, and their human spirit leaves, according to Ecclesiastes, and goes back to God. You know what I believe? Now, that's my opinion. I'm going to give you just my opinion. Millions of those little spirits, millions of human beings have left the body not at 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, but at 3 months old, 4 months old. I'm talking about in the womb. See, the point of conception is the point that the human spirit is made alive, created, immediate creation, and the physical is generated. It's a glorious gift of procreation. For those who have slaughtered the babies, blood on your head, blood on your hands. Those who have taken the money, blood money. Girls that have been talked to, listen, I know one thing for sure too. There is healing at the cross. There's forgiveness at the cross. There's a Savior that knows how to weep, knows the pain, knows the situation. I got so much to say about that. I'm going to have to wait. So Josh, coming up, we'll do it. And we will try to give you a bigger and broader four-night series on this subject. But it's kind of like what occurs among the Mayans also. The Mayans had no trouble concerning the slaughter of infants, and nor did the Aztecs, nor did the Egyptians, nor did many other parts of the world, nor did many cultures. Obviously, the realization that there are millions of diagnosed cases of satanic ritual abuse, Australia, Canada, America, Europe, Russia, the UK, around the world. We're only touching on the tip of the iceberg here, folks. We're only touching the tip. It is so broad. Just like in Manasseh's day when God said innocent blood, like in America, abortion, and the underbelly of ritual sacrifice, the breeders all know this, that innocent blood has been shed from one side. Now, they didn't know that in Manasseh's day. Look back at 2 Kings 21:22. And God had to describe that the nation that was supposed to be the place for the city of God, the nation of God, and all the rest, was supposed to be. Supposed to be. But again, in the underbelly, as it always is done, in the darkness and the secrecy and so forth, it begins to rise. And God finally had to say that it was such an abomination that the people that were supposed to be the people of God became worse than the demonized, demon-infested, baby-killing nations around. Isn't that amazing? You want to see God's mentality concerning child sacrifice, whether it's abortion or whether it is underground state. You know what? They do the same. They want to cut the baby, and I've had them explain it to me. Looking into their eyes as they explain how to keep the baby alive long enough to create enough pain, enough torture, in such blasphemy because of the innocence and so forth, and the conjuring of demons. You know, the Bible says, hate what is evil. Romans 12, hate what is evil. Don't think that I have a sense of mercy for the demonic world at all. God does not. They made their eternal choices a long time ago. They are fixed in their nature. They will not, would not change. So don't ask me to have mercy on the demonic side or those human beings that begin to do Satan's will. So abortion doctors, you're doing Satan's will. You're murdering children. America, your tax dollars. And may I say to all Christians listening, I don't care what it costs me on this issue. If you vote for presidents, senators, governors, people that you think will bring you more tax relief or more money, yet they are high-level abortionists or pro-abortion, and you vote, what are you going to do? 30 pieces of silver and sell out the children? Judgment begins at the house of God. That's why there's no revival in America, because so many Christians are duped. Self-serving Christians. I mean, that's evidence, isn't it? The reason so many Christians voted for an abortion-providing president was social change. What was it? Money? What was it? Race? We're going to get into hot water here tonight, right? You know what we're going to get into? Truth. We're getting into the truth that God sees this kind of stuff as an abomination. You understand, the demons all know, Satanists, Luciferians, all of them know. If you was a strong, spirit-filled believer, knowing the authority of Christ, you knew how to win souls, you knew how to pray for healing, you knew how to command demonic presence off and out of people, you knew how to do spiritual warfare. And back in the day of the Mayans in the temple, if you walked back in that day and began to evangelize, absolutely you would be dealing with people that wanted hope, wanted the love of God, wanted the gift of eternal life, wanted assurance. You would be dealing with people that in coming to Christ were demonized. You would have been confronted probably by, those who serve the gods of the Mayans and the Aztecs and others. They would have come after you. Just like voodoo priests came after Christians in Haiti when those Christians finally got together and went to the place where the black pig was sacrificed and the blood was drunk a few hundred years ago. When they dedicated the entire nation to satanic powers, if Satan would just get rid of the French. In other words, you know what they did? Give us powers. Weaponize our military ability. Weaponize our ability to fight the French and get them out of here. And we will give you the nation for 200 years. Individuals do this. Give us this favors. Give us these things and we surrender our soul. There's blood oaths. There's ritual contracts. There's all kinds of stuff. So listen, as we get into this subject tonight, I want to touch this subject pretty clearly tonight. We're dealing with warning to mind researchers and 2012ers, and I hope that that you hear clearly tonight. Because I can ask you, if you believe in abortion, would you be willing to watch a partial birth abortion procedure? I mean, watch it actually occur. Watch the little baby's arms and legs move. Watch the living little thing that if pulled out a little further and the cord cut and taken care of could live. Would you watch it? As after they puncture the back of its head and blend the brains and kill it and discard it in a garbage can where all the others were. Arms, legs, heads, nameless, but not in the sight of God. Again, I'm giving you my opinion. From my understanding, God has embraced them. They're safe. No one will ever cut them again. They'll be loved. Deprived of mothers and fathers, but they'll be loved. By an infinite, perfect love that many of you listening could have if you wanted it. Question is whether you want the love of God or the counterfeit of a dark presence who doesn't give a darn about your soul. As a matter of fact, Jesus taught that this dark presence fights against you even hearing the word of God. Seeks to steal it, take it out of your mind. Read it in the Gospel of Luke. So that you can't believe and be saved. He fights against evangelism. You know what he does to Christians? If he can try to stop you from being clothed with the power of the Holy Spirit and being a witness for Christ, he'll do everything he can to hit you when you're weak and young and hit you hard so you'll never try again. There's believers that have been hit years ago. They've been hit and never got up since. And I believe the Spirit of God would say to you today, get off that excuse and renounce it forever. The clothing of the power of the Spirit of God, your development of growing more powerful, Acts 9:22, all of what God has called and given you the privilege to be a part of is waiting. There's things that we need to repent of and be honest about. In a day in which the spirits are calling in an unprecedented manner, in a day in which supernatural events, experiences, communication are occurring, it is not just new things. It is even the ancient gods and goddesses, powerful ones of the past, where doorways are being opened, where the ancient spiritual scrolls are being read, when individuals are being drawn. Why are they being drawn to go down to the Mayan temples? I mentioned PK men. Do a big study on PK men. You'll find out the one that believed in these, well, intelligences that were communicating to him telepathically, that he believed that he was given the ability to do miracles and could affect the nation and can affect military and could affect weather and the environment, could do damage. Is the same one that went to the Mayan temples and talked about seeking permission of the god, small g, to be there and to acquire knowledge. I guarantee you that many of those who are going down, the researchers, the ones that I'm reading and looking into, I can guarantee you that many of them, you know what they're doing? They are literally, they're reading some of the stuff. They're being drawn down because they feel a synchronicity, something going on. But it's much more than just that. It includes very clearly that they have gotten a hold of the drugs, ayahuasca. Well, other drugs, no question about it, at all. As a matter of fact, in going further into all of this, and I appreciate someone sent me the other day, or yesterday, a book, and I even ordered it, concerning religion, thing like that, and then human sacrifice, kind of a cultural, a broader study. And I just, it's called the Ritual Sacrifice of Blood and Redemption. There's another one called Human Sacrifice. So, you know, I do study and I do read. And I'm reading those who have been very popular in their books and on talk shows that have gone down there that believe in taking the drugs. For what reason? To open doorways, to open gateways, to contact a presence on the other side. So that is going to be the focus for the next 20 minutes as we talk about, well, the topic that we have tonight is Mayans, drugs, and the door to their gods, a picture of the end of days. As it was in the past, it gives but a glimpse of a broader, more unequaled manifestation of the demonic side. As a matter of fact, when we look into the future, and listen, remote viewers and psychics and others that are peering into the future, I can't understand why you won't look to the Spirit of God, who has given infallible, accurate, irrevocable pictures of the future. That, it runs circles around all this finite percentages, you know, partially accurate stuff. If you listen to the finite spirits who cannot act in an infinite way. They're not omniscient. They're not omnipresent. They're not in the past, the present, the future all at once. They're not only in time and out of time. I mean, God is outside of time, in time, around time, beyond time. You got to understand how vast God is. That's part of the big problem with a lot of those. They have no idea of the infinite, vast, immeasurable nature of God. It includes His love, the relational aspect, and the heart of God desiring us. For the Mayan researchers and those going down, Daniel Pinchbeck, all the rest going down, those hoping for the return of Quetzalcoatl, those engaged in the next year or so in convergences and seeking to look for the 2012 occurrence of a spiritual evolution that may bring catastrophic events to the world, in their view, as prophesied by the Mayans. Could it be that the Mayans, guided by these ancient dark spirits, were prophesying some of what their agenda for the future is all about? You know, the demonic side, the demon gods, there's an agenda that God has revealed. He's revealed their playbook. God knows their playbook right and left. And God has shown the playbook, folks. They're going to create an anarchy, a catastrophic chaos, a slaughtering of humanity, a bringing down of nations, such as the world has never seen. For one reason. Anthropos Anamos Antichristu. The apocalypse of a world teacher, of a Maitreya, of a Mahdi, of a political, economic, environmental, cultural savior. The most supernaturally, well, I don't want to just say empowered, genetically created, whatever you want to call it, counterfeit incarnation, counterfeit everything, counterfeit bloodline, counterfeit everything. When Homo Satanus, Satan now, in human skin, smiling. 2,600 years ago, Daniel talks about he has a face like that of a man. He speaks boastfully, powerfully. Are we getting this yet? Are we understanding that we're living literally in the end of days? Are we understanding how vast the deception is? How near we are to catastrophic events in human history. I got book after book after book here on ayahuasca, on drugs and ritual, on how they open the door, the spirit molecule, all those things. It is without question the Mayans use the drugs for those purposes. It is without question the Mayans use, well, they have used many kinds along, even the Egyptians used similar drugs. Nymphaea, or as some call the blue lotus, is seen in Egyptian art, Mayan art. It is seen coming out of the head of what it might be a Mayan priestess, a dancer. They're performing a ritual dance. They're standing on either side of the jaguar god. And these drugs that bring, well, some say the drugs cause hallucinations. I believe that those drugs open the human capacity. See, we have human capacity spiritually. In Ephesians chapter 1, it's called the eyes of our heart. There is the construct of the human, you and I as a human being, body, soul, and spirit. We have the construct. We're hardwired to be spiritual, to receive spiritually, to interact spiritually. But it was to be with the infinite God. It was to be Imago Dei. It was to be demonstrating the majesty of God. It was to be this incredible, spiritual, brilliant being, eternal. And you and I don't understand that when sin came in Genesis 3, the fracture spiritually, psychologically, mentally, socially, economically, environmentally, everything went dark, corrupted, desecrated, changed. Not even redemption and having the Spirit of God in us and the joy, the power, and the life that we know right now as believers in Christ shows us what it was before the fall of the human race. Glorification, by this incredible act of Christ at the cross, will take you, listen to me now, listen to me very carefully, it will take you higher than what we would have been prior to Genesis 3. The Adamic nature, the Imago Dei, and all of what was in the original creation of Adam, humankind. Did you realize the cross includes glorification, indestructible immortality, and the nature of the coming, the real coming race? This blows off the table, like dirt being blown off the table. Glorification and the new race blows off the table the Lumerians, the Atlanteans, the Star Children stuff, all of this concept of an evolution of humanity to deification, which has been the lie that started it all. And New Agers are swallowing it as if it's something that tastes good. I mean, even Eve, it felt... See, there's energy that emanates off the entities that lie, that seek to engage our feelings and induce us to want hell itself. There are those that have sacrificed babies and enjoyed it, just like abortion doctors, slaughtering children, cleaning up for the day, going home to have a big meal, driving in a $49,000 Beamer that they made off the slaughter of babies. TikTok, hell is waiting. Grace and the offer of God is just about over. Listen, I've got to go back a few moments here, and I know that you're going to feel that I've been all over the page today. That's about the truth. I had to go back to Pat because she wrote in yesterday. She said, weren't the demon gods of the Maya removed and taken to Rome by the Spaniards? And I would say yes. The Vatican and Catholics should be overwhelmingly concerned. Question is, are they? Because demonized objects connected to demon gods that involved human sacrifice were brought there. They empower the ability for more demons. They have the power to influence individuals. Voice to skull. This is beyond human technology. This is physics beyond mankind's ability. Christians, the arrows spoken of in Ephesians 6, sent by the evil one. What are those arrows? Involuntary thoughts, involuntary feelings, sent to float in, to guide, to influence, and to move an individual to choose against God and for the alternative. I appreciate everybody writing in tonight, and I'm in the middle of this conundrum of answering all of these and not touching on the rest of this. Let me see if I can do this in 5 minutes. 5 minutes here, let me give you this. Let us remember that if, again, anybody studying the Mayans is going to go back and look and see drugs used, spirits speaking, trances, possession, guidance involved. All of it involves the enhancing human sacrifice in the most horrific, I mean, it's worse than many horror slasher films of today. One of the pictures I saw is this priest dressed in this kind of katsikaru garb, feathered serpent garb, pulling out the guts of a living human being that has been stood up. While the person is alive, they're in their manner, going in and ripping and pulling out the guts in a celebration. Can you imagine that? You're going to hear me say Friday why I think it's a good thing that God shut down the Mayan culture of the past. If not, where would the Mayan culture of today be? Where would the babies and the children and all those passive individuals, that some of which live in huts to this day? You know, we have these Americans and others, Europeans, you know, that are from the 60s and the drug culture, and they've opened up the doors in the past, and now they're going down there, and they're getting a hold of ayahuasca and other drugs, and they're taking a hold of them, and they're opening the doors. You know, many others have done this. Many are going down. You could see testimonies of this on YouTube. Put in drugs, ayahuasca, Mayans. You'll see people that are like this, glowing reports of spiritual engagement and can I tell you something? It's no different than that they're smiling while they're chewing on razor blades. No different than barefoot dancing on razor blades. The blood, spiritually, physically, will flow. Now, I was looking at this other article concerning the Mayan pre-Columbian times. They were, and I'm just going to read here, that they were known historically for their performance in the ritual sacrifice of victims whose hearts were offered to Mayan gods. The chief priest served in the various capacities of the administrator, teacher, healer, astronomer, advisor to the chief, and diviner. The priests specialized in prophecy, and many of the functions, listen, were, I quote, by drug-induced visions. Drug-induced visions. The ancient gods and goddesses are looking for doorways, and the doorways are many, and one of those doorways I'll mention right now, drugs. Drugs that can open human capacity. The hard wiring that God put there for us to know God, be indwelt by God, interact with God, be lit up by God, be enlightened by the Spirit of God. Read Ephesians 1, you'll see all this. To know God, to know the depths of God, by the Spirit of God inside of us, permeating our construct as a human being, enlightening us and the eyes of our heart to see, to know, to experience. Occultists call it the third eye, because on that side of the fence, demons open up the same human capacity. Your capacity could be opened up with demonic presence or with the Spirit of God of the living Christ's presence. And I want to say this clearly. Human capacity can be opened up by particular drugs. You ever notice that in the 60s, the second largest proliferation of occult literature in human history, according to James Webb, the occult historian, the first time pre-Nazi Germany. Now, others would argue that concerning the ancient, well, under the pyramids and back to the Sumerians and all that. I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to just simply say this. In the 60s, occult sciences, literature, rituals, experiences, clearly satanic themes in particular rock music. I can tell you this because I lived there. Patrick Huron can tell you this. He lived it too. Many of you out of California that are now in your mid-50s and 60s, you all lived it. I can remember the experiences I had in the context of drugs, satanically themed and lyrics that involved opening doors to the demons. Listen, Bloister Colt did that. Old Black Sabbath, the Wizard, did that. Sabbath, Bloody Sabbath, did that. Led Zeppelin did that. Uriah Heep did that. Deep Purple did that. A group I listened to in the late 60s, beginning 70s, Lucifer's Friend, very similar to Black Sabbath. Let me tell you something. There's ways in which spirits inspire musicians and bring revelation in lyrics. And if they are demonically attached or possessed, as is Marilyn Manson, and I say that because I stood 4 or 5 feet from him, watched him taken over demonically a number of times, and the law enforcement agents that brought me around the corner wanted me to engage him. But he fell to the floor, scurried around in his thong after he bashed up a bunch of the hanging plastic babies on stage and was scurried away by his people. Bottom line, the 60s, absolutely open doors. Drugs open up the door to the demonic realm, to hearing them, to hearing their voices. Let me give you the last thing here. We are running out of time. I'm going to read this to you. Revelation 21, 3 times in the book of Revelation. In the future, God shows us, but the cowardly, this is Revelation 21, 8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, sorcery, pharmakios. It is a combination of using drugs to open the human conscience, the human capacities to the spirits, to hear from them, to be possessed, to receive revelation, to engage, just like mind researchers, just like 2012ers, no different. And the prediction is using drugs to open the doors to the spirits will grow broader, wider, become more acceptable. There are those that are now in deep, deep research. I'll bring this out in, well, again, down the road, always running out of time, maybe a 4-part series just on pharmakion. Get out of it. Get out of it and come to the living Christ. Let the love of God, the power of God, the might of God fall all over you. Come to the living Christ, my friend. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Renounce the dark side. Renounce the doorways that you've opened up. And open wide to the living Christ. Receive the love of God, the gift of God, the forgiveness of God, the embrace of God. Be healed. Be saved. My friends, write to me. I'll answer some more questions of these today, Friday. This is Russ Dizdar. Check it out on the web, shatterthedarkness.net. God bless you. Good night.